The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, is a critic of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We begin our study this morning in Genesis chapter 30, where we'll pick up verses 1 through 24 and the introduction. The local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment with this academic setting that is designed for believers and their assembly, for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life. The church itself is not the building. It's not the structure. It is the believers that make up the microcosm body in the particular geographical locale in regards to the local church. And it's the individuals that are of importance completely and totally, and that is their spiritual point of importance. And that revolves around the truth of Bible doctrine, their understanding of it. And God has provided a means for one to understand His Word, clearly undistorted by human viewpoint and the SCA, and that is to ensure that God the Holy Spirit has correct position and rulership over the real you, over the soul, and that is made possible through the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9. In our prayer confession, experientially, in regards to our sins, God forgives us our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We are filled with God, the Holy Spirit. The sin nature is put in its cage, so to speak. Our human spirit is in its role of activation in tandem with God, the Holy Spirit. And we are spiritually then predisposed to assimilate the spiritual information in regards to the truth of doctrine. The natural man does not understand these things because they are spiritually of nature, and must therefore be spiritually assessed, as Paul teaches so clearly in this respect. And because churches, believers do not follow this protocol, all kinds of goofy stuff comes out of the scriptures presented by believers, and obviously it's these things that give Christianity truly this black eye and witness to the world. We don't want to be of that ilk. We want to stay on the straight and narrow to make sure always that we are looking intellectually, honestly, and clearly, spiritually, in regards to the understandings of the Scripture. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll give everyone an opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask you bless us in our desire to understand and know you, to open the doors of the depth of understanding, and that it is all adequate in order for each and every one of us to serve you in action with honor, to hold fast and stay the course to the end, and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all eternity in such a way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, chapter 29 closed out with verses 31 through 35, recording the first four sons of Jacob being born by Leah. As verse 31 made clear, Leah, in regards to part of the divine discipline she experienced in her whole ordeal, in regards to deception upon Jacob, tricking him into becoming his wife in place of Rachel, as we saw, her relationship with Jacob lacked greatly in regards to the normal relationship that you find between right man, right woman, husband and wife, and that is that she was unloved. She was simply dealt with by Jacob in a very cavalier, almost a second-class citizen type of situation in that respect. But in spite of that, God saw that, and God opens her womb, and she starts having children immediately in regards to the marriage, whereas then on the other end of the coin, as verse 31 made clear, in contrast to that, Rachel could not get pregnant. And with the pendulum on Leah's side in regard to fertility, she cranked out babies. She became a baby machine, if you will. And in regards to a consecutive order, the first four children are born, the first four sons are born, and this occurs within the about a 10 to 11 month period with each birth in regards to these babies. And part of the aspect here of chronologically looking at what's going on, one recognizes, must recognize the sequence of these births as they are being presented. We will see that at least 11 of the children that were born of the sons born of Israel were born within a 7-year period. In regards to Jacob and his wives and the other extras that were thrown in here on the occasion of the maids. And with the first four sons being born by Leah, Rachel enjoying Jacob's affection, otherwise being barren, she obviously reacts to this. And we see the circus of SE activity that goes on in regards to the two sisters and their marriage with Jacob, not a marriage and that one would want necessarily regards their lives in this respect, much like we saw in regards to Isaac and Rebecca, how all that got tangled up and twisted up, because people will not isolate their sin natures. They will not put Bible doctrine first in their life in regards to the relationships. They compromise. They look for alternatives and all these other things in regards to their whole approach. And that creates often schism and conflict in regards to a relationship. But here, the two sisters, Leah and Rachel, we see they follow the very pattern of their father as being highly competitive in regards to their relationship. And what we have here now in chapter 30, whereas the first four sons recorded, if you will, backed up to the whole situation of the treachery that occurred to kind of give you the background setting of this relationship of the marriage as it so stood. Now in chapter 30, we have the recording of the other sons that will be born in regards to the family. And what we've titled here, verses 1 through 24, is the baby wars. The competition between the two sisters truly begins in this regards. And I provide for us here a short introduction to this chapter to give us some chronological orientation of how this next 7 years of the second 7-year period of the contract of Jacob to his uncle Laban to serve, even though Rachel obviously has already been given to him in marriage along with Leah, this final 7 years, all these kids that are cranked out in regards to this family, and it comes through highly competitive activity involved in regards to the wives. So here we have the baby wars, and I have an introduction to give us kind of a, as I stated, chronological orientation to all this. One, the text picks up after the birth of the first four sons of Jacob by Leah, recorded for us in chapter 29, verses 32 through 35 of the verse. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Two, Genesis 30, 1 through 24, will result in the birth of seven more sons, then and a daughter. 11, the only daughter out of the group, talking about having a bunch of brothers, Dinah. 3, now the youngest son, Benjamin, which would be the 12th, is not born until later in the land of Canaan, not until after another 7 years, 21 years total, of Jacob serving Laban, working for him, is Benjamin born. He's kind of born in the twilight zone and all of this. And that's recorded for us in Genesis 35, verses 16 through 18. And they journeyed from Bethel, obviously in the land of Canaan. When there was still some distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth, and she suffered severe labor. And it came about when she was in severe labor that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, for now you have another son." And it came about as her soul was departed, for she died giving childbirth, that she named him Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So 4, now the outstanding feature regarding the births of the first 11 and daughter, Dinah, is that they were all born within a 7-year period. Dinah, through the language, falls outside that 7-year period technically, though she could have been conceived easily within the same 7 years at the end of it. 5, Jacob here arrived in Haran at his uncle Laban's in 1709 B.C. to once again reorient us here where we're at chronologically. 6, he then agreed to work for the hand of Rachel for 7 years, as we saw. 7, in 1702 B.C., after the 7-year contract was essentially completed, Laban pulled the switch, substituting Leah for Rachel. 8, however, he also gave Jacob Rachel upon completing the first 7 years, if he would work another 7 years, to which Jacob agreed. 9, in 1702 B.C., Leah first conceived within that first year and began bearing Jacob's children beginning the second period of 7 years, which would be 84 months. 10, while the first 4 occurred rapidly, as might be expected over a period of some 3.5 years, 42 months, given 11 months in between births, 9 for gestation and birth, 2-month R&R for the wife, and conception and birth again, following the normal cycle. The final 8, so while the first 4 occurred rapidly, as might be expected over a period of some 3.5 years, it's one child after another, that's fairly rapidly. The final 8, then, were produced in the final 4 years. In just 48 months, we have 8 more kids in this regard. Without benefit of multiple births, there were no twins or triplets that are involved in any of this. 11, how this is possible is that 4 women, the 2 sisters and their 2 maids, will all become party to producing Jacob's offspring. And God works all this into his plan to produce the 12 tribes of Israel. So 12, to have a better grasp on the sequence of births and timing, we can utilize the following chart, which I give to you, that if you want to keep it handy with you as we go through this, for continued orientation, you can do so. So you can see here the second 7 years of Jacob. Jacob's bargain with Laban, which is the 84 months now, the second 7 years. We begin in 1702 B.C., and that takes us down to 1695 B.C., and it begins with Leah with her first 4 sons born, first Reuben, which means look or see a son. She would conceive, 9 months gestation, have the birth, And then we give a two-month period between giving birth and getting pregnant again. So you're looking kind of at 11 months. Then you have Simeon being conceived and born, another 9 months, which his name means hearing, as we saw, to hear. God heard me. And we went through all that, the significance of the names, as well as how it translated in regards to Leah's orientation to her situation and her test. So another 9 months, another 11 months, 9 months plus two, the number two in between there shows that two-month break. Then you have the third, Levi, means to be joined or attached, conceived and being born. And then the fourth, Judah, which brings us to around 1699 B.C., which would be simply 9 months. She gives birth to him. That brings us to 42 months, and then she quits bearing. She quits having children. And the suggestion that was made in regards to that, as we noted in our notes, is that it probably came about that Jacob simply quit having sex with her. And when you go through this and you see Rachel's attitude towards it, her maladjustment, you can see where maybe there's some play of her badgering or whatever that maybe brings that about. And we'll see some evidence that backs that, though if it's going to depend on you getting the prize or not, don't take it that far to the bank. Yeah, who knows? The best view is that simply divine intervention in some form or fashion. So, it's fine to read between the lines when it's fairly obvious. And some of these things seem to be obvious, but we always check ourselves. So that brings us to 42 months within the seven-year period, or 3.5 years. And we'll see Rachel and Leah getting their maids involved, which is as we pick up now in chapter 30. And Rachel is the first, as her envy or jealousy of her sister gets a stranglehold on the relationship. And not unlike her grandmother Sarah, offers Jacob her maid as a surrogate, as a substitute. And her maid is named Bilhah. And through Bilhah, Jacob will have two more sons. That's Dan, which means justice, as we'll see, and Naphtali, which means wrestling. And occurs within essentially the 28 or the 20-month period, 9 months pregnancy, 2 months break, and then it takes you down close to the end of the 20-month period. Obviously, you give or take a few days, a month or whatever within all this chronology. If we're that close, we're pretty damn accurate after some 3,000 years or so. But anyway. And we will see as we go through this. Leah, she gets on the bandwagon. And as soon as she sees her sister give Bilhah to Jacob, she follows suit, monkey see, monkey do. And she presents her maid Zilpah, whom Jacob also weds in that sense, both as wives. And they had the authority to do so, as they are their maids given to them by their father. And he gets them knocked up. He gets them pregnant. Gets her pregnant, Zilpah. And she too bears two sons, Gad and Asher. And again, all this occurs essentially within that 20-month period of which Leah is barren. And then we pick up And we will have the mandrake caper kick in as we get into the chapter, which is known in historical times as a form of aphrodisiac. And sex will once again reoccur in regards to Jacob and Leah, and she starts having kids again. And that closes out the remainder of the 84-month period. She'll have Issachar, and again we give the 11-month period as a general average between the births. Then Zebulun, and then she gets pregnant again, but after the 7-year period, as the scripture says, and afterwards, then she has the one daughter out of the group, that's Dinah. And then during that period, God takes notice to Rachel, and she does give birth for the first time. While it's only one birth, it is one of importance, as it is Joseph, through whose line a double portion of blessing is given to Israel. May the Lord add. And then, as we noted, she does not have her second child through natural childbirth until after another 7 years down the line on their return trip back to Canaan, of which then God takes her out of this whole ordeal as she dies in the land of Canaan after giving birth to Benjamin, son number 12. So there's your kind of a guideline chart to see how all this can work, how it all could happen, again, without the benefit of multiple births otherwise. All right, so we have these baby wars now. As I titled verses 1 through 8, let the games begin. You know, obviously, your pastor's humor tends to come through sometimes. Let the games begin in a highly competitive family. So looking here at the Hebrew, verses 1 through 8, which we'll do as a unit, kind of lengthy sections, but best way to deal with it, I think. Now, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister. And she said to Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." Here we go again. The woman, "Do this for her, it's not worth living." Okay. Wow, consecutive. Then our verb to see, when she saw, is a cow, perfect third feminine singer, Ra'ah. R-A-A-H. Proper noun, Rachel. That is conjunction key, K-I-Y. She bore no children. She did not bear, literally. You had the negative particle lo, L-O, followed with the verb to give birth, cow, perfect third feminine singer, yalad, Y-A-L-A-D. Jacob, the proper noun, Jacob, preceded by the preposition lamed, for Jacob, or to Jacob, however you want to look at it. She became jealous of her sister. You had the wow consecutive, then the PL form of the verb, imperfect third feminine singer, kana, Q-A-N-A. Then she became jealous or envious, as context may or situation may translate it. That being Rachel, the one being jealous. Literally by her sister, by means of her sister, is the source of envy or jealousy. Preposition bet. Then a common feminine singer noun construct with the third feminine singer suffix akoth for sister, A-C-H-O-T-H. And she said, while consecutive, our typical verb again, amar, A-M-A-R, Cal Imperfect Orphan and Singer. 2, Jacob, preposition L, that means she confronted him face to face here. EL, Jacob transliterated. Then our verb imperative here, to give, is a masculine singular imperative, Yahav, Y-A-H-A-B. It's not the typical Nathan, Yahav, as we see, to give as a gift is what that word emphasizes. 2, me is a preposition lament. Children is your common masculine plural absolute noun. Our word for sons, Ben, in the Hebrew, you got one male. Even in the midst of 1 million females, the Hebrew language will always be presented in the masculine. You got one male present in this situation. The Hebrew views it in the masculine. Let the women livers take that and smoke it. Give me children or sons, or else I die. While conjunction, follow with the conjunction M, I am. Follow with the adverb I am, A Y I N. Literally, and if not, it should be and if not it. Dying, am I? This is a literal Hebrew. Awkward in English. You have our cow participle denoting her emotional demeanor, ongoing emotional demeanor being expressed to Jacob here. Is the cow participle feminine singular absolute, muth, M-U-T-H. Follow with your first common singular pronoun, Anoki, A-N-O-K-I-Y. Verse 2, then Jacob's anger burned against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? While conjunction, then our verb, translated burn, is the cal imperfect third masculine singular kara, C-H-A-R-A-H. Follow with our noun for anger, common masculine singular construct off, literally nostril. A-P-H, nostrils flaring, is the idea of anger. Here the anger burned, that being Jacob's anger. And the object of expression is at Rachel, preposition bet, followed with the proper noun, Rachel. And he said, while consecutive, again our verb amar, A-M-A-R, cal imperfect third masculine singular. What, interrogative, you have the interrogative particle ha, H-A. Just represented by the question mark here, that literally in the Hebrew, what? Am I in the place of God? That's the idea there. Then you have the preposition takath, T-A-C-H-A-T-H. Instead of literally, God is your common masculine plural absolute noun, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. Am I, again, our personal pronoun, first common singular, Anoki. Who is the relative pronoun, Asher, A-S-H-E-R. Then our verb to withhold, restrain, cal perfect third masculine singular, mana, M-A-N-A. Who has withheld from you, preposition with the second feminine singular suffix, men, M-I-N, the fruit of the womb. Our noun for fruit is common masculine singular construct, peri, P-E-R-I-Y. Then follow with our noun for womb, common feminine singular absolute, Bethen, B-E-T-H-E-N. Verse 3, And she said, "Here's my maid Billa, go into her that she may bear on my knees, that through her I too may have children." And she said, similar construct, while consecutive with our verb amar, cow and perfect circum and singer. Then you have your interjectory particle, henna, behold, or see. H-I-N-N-E-H. My maid, Billa. You have the common feminine singer noun. Construct the first common singer suffix, ama, a female servant or maid, A-M-A-H, Billa, transliterated. Then the command, go in to her. Cal, imperative, masculine singer, our verb, bo, B-O, go in to. Follow with the preposition L with the third feminine singer suffix. Go in, into her, literally. Language for having sex, E-L. And she will bear, or that she may bear. Vowel consecutive, our verb to give birth, bear children. Cal, imperfect third feminine singer, Yalad, Y-A-L-A-D. Then the euphemism of upon her knees, or upon my knees, excuse me. You have the preposition all, A-L, followed with a common feminine dual construct with the first common singer suffix, berek, bereke, B-E-R-E-K-E. That through her I too may have children. You have the wow conjunction, followed with the nifal, imperfect first common singer verb here as a coordinative, our verb literally to build, bana, as the word used of God building Eve for Adam in regard to her body, B-A-N-A-H. I might build, may have children. Followed with the conjunction gam, also G-A-M. I myself, Anoki, our personal pronoun again. From her, she is a surrogate mother, obviously. Preposition, men with the third feminine singer suffix, M-I-N. Verse 4. So she gave him her maid Billa as a wife, and Jacob went into her. Wife number 3. Vowel consecutive. Now our verb to give here is our typical verb, cal imperfect, third feminine singer, Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. To him, preposition lama with third masculine singer suffix. A sign of the direct object, what she gave is her maid, Billa, transliterated. Then our noun for maid here is a common feminine singer struck with the third feminine singer suffix, Shifaka, S-H-I-P-H-E-C-H-A-H, Shifaka, her maid servant, as a wife or for a wife, preposition lamed. Then our common feminine singer absolute noun, Ishisha, Shifaka Ishisha, I-S-H-S-H-A-H. And Jacob went into her, while conjunction, or while consecutive, excuse me. Then our verb to go in again is bo, B-O, cal imperfect, third masculine singer, followed with the preposition L, into, denoting the physical contact here. And he went into her, Jacob, proper noun. Verse 5. And Billa conceived and bore Jacob a son. So no time lost here, impregnating the maid. Wow, consecutive. Our verb to conceive again is harah, H-A-R-A-H, here as a cal imperfect third feminine singer. The one conceiving is Billa. And she bore, our typical construct, here again, Yalad, YALAD. So she gets pregnant, then she gives birth, the normal sequence. Callan, perfect third feminine singer with a wow consecutive. For Jacob, preposition Lamed. A son, or noun for son again, Ben, B-E-N, common masculine singer, absolute. And we see Rachel's reaction. Then Rachel said, God has vindicated me and has indeed heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore, she named him Dan. And she said, Rachel, wow, consecutive plus a mar plus a proper noun, the verb being the cow, perfect third feminine singular. Our verb translated vindicated has vindicated is the cow perfect third masculine singer with first common singer suffix Dayan, D-A-Y-A-N. Literally means to judge or plead a case in the sense of pleading in favor would be vindication. So he has vindicated me, as it has a first common singer suffix, that being God doing the vindicating, common masculine plural absolute Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. And indeed, you have the wow conjunction, followed with your conjunction gam, G-A-M. Indeed, also, as it may be, has indeed heard my voice. Our verb to hear, cow, perfect third masculine singer, Shema, S-H-A-M-A. By my voice, literally, preposition bet, followed with our common masculine singer noun, construct the first common singer suffix, our word for voice, kol, Q-O-L. And has given me a son, while consecutive. Our verb to give again is Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, cow and perfect third masculine singular. To me a son, preposition Lamed, with the first common singular suffix, followed with Ben, a son, common masculine singular, absolute. Therefore is your preposition all, A-L, plus the adverb kin, K-E-N, upon thus, literally, hence therefore, she called his name Dan, literally. You have the first, the verb to call, cow, perfect, third feminine singer, verb, kara, Q-A-R-A. His name is a common masculine singer construct with third masculine singer suffix, shim. And transliterated proper noun, Dan. Verse 7. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Again, our typical words for conception and giving birth, while consecutive, plus our verb hurrah, cow in perfect third feminine singular. She conceived, and then followed with here the adverb od, or od, od. She conceived again, and she bore, gave birth, while consecutive, followed with our verb yalad, cow in perfect third feminine singular. That being Bilhah doing the conceiving and giving birth. Again, referred to as Rachel's maid. Common feminine singular construct, shifaka, our word for maid, maidservant, S-H-I-P-H-E-C-H-A-H. Proper noun, Rachel, a son, noun, Ben, common masculine singer. Here, a second one for Jacob. A second one, a second son. His adjective, masculine singer, absolute, Sheni, S-H-E-N-I-Y, followed with the preposition Lamed, proper noun, Jacob. In verse 8, so Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister. and I have indeed prevailed. She named him Naphtali. While consecutive are cal and perfect third feminine singular verb to say, Amar, A-M-A-R, Rachel, been speaking. Then our word wrestlings, you had a common masculine plural construct, Naphtulim, Naphtulim, N-A-P-H-E-T-T-U-L-I-Y-M. It's a hopox only used here. Wrestling's up literally. God, translated mighty, used here qualitatively, obviously. But there is a underlying significance we might attach to it, as we'll bring out. You have our noun, common masculine plural, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. Wrestlings of God or mighty wrestlings, I have been wrestling, literally in the Hebrew. It's followed with the niphal verb, passive, perfect, first common singular, phathal, P-H-A-T-H-A-L. With my sister, phathal, that verb is used four times. Here, Job 5:13, Psalm 18:27, Proverbs 8:8. Then you have the preposition in, I am, with, followed with our noun for sister, common feminine singular construct with the first common singular suffix, a koth, A-C-H-O-T-H. Indeed, I have prevailed. You have the conjunction gam, used ascensively here, G-A-M. To prevail is your cal perfect first common singular verb yakal, Y-A-K-A-L, to prevail or overcome. And she called his name literally Naphtali. While consecutive, our verb to call again, kara, Q-A-R-A. Name is Shem, S-H-E-M, common masculine singular struct with third masculine singular suffix. And then the proper noun, Naphtali, is transliterated from N-A-P-H-E-T-T-A-L-I-Y, Naphtali. All right, rereading these block of verses here. Verse 1, now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous or envious of her sister. She said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. Verse 2, then Jacob's anger burned against Rachel. And he said, am I instead of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Verse 3, and she said, here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her, that she may bear on my knees, that through her I too may have children. Verse 4, so she gave him her maid Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went in to her. Verse 5, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Verse 6, and Rachel said, God has vindicated me, has indeed heard my voice, and has given me a son. Therefore she called, called his name, Dan. She named him Dan. Verse 7, and Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. So Rachel said, verse 8, with mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and I have indeed prevailed. And she named him Naphtali. The analysis of verses 1 through 8. 1. After watching Leah give birth to four sons, per chapter 29, verses 31 through 35, and remaining barren herself for some 42 months after her marriage to Jacob, Rachel's STA explodes. Now, sometimes you can keep it under wraps, then there's that one thing that just takes you over the line. And you can almost see her facing what the situation. Okay, one, all right, two, three, what, four, and I have none, you know. And sometimes the SCA just can't be restrained by the believer. I mean, it can be, but when one is not utilizing doctrine and not acclimated to their niche, that's when you'll find it letting go on occasion. So her SCA definitely gets the best of her, and it makes her say some pretty stupid things here. So, two, she became extremely jealous of her sister, as is translated. Kana Beth Akoth, with the Hebrew Kana having also the nuance of envy. We did the doctrine of jealousy, envy, as we saw it's used back in Genesis 26:14, the same word. And there, is translated envy by the New American Standard correctly. Envy, desiring something that somebody else possesses. Jealousy is the threat of losing something to someone else. So the difference of nuance between the two words. So here, you probably got a mixture of both. So that's point three. She became jealous in fear of losing her place or prominence in the household, recognizing the importance that the culture places on wives having children back then. So you got that distinct possibility, obviously. And then, obviously, envious of the fertility of Leah, her sister. Again, growing up in a competitive household, able to pop out kids right and left, basically, in her eyes. So for poor Rachel, it was not enough that Jacob loved her the most. Per 29, verse 30. But that her sister is able to enjoy any part of her marriage becomes unbearable. It's just childish. That's the way kids would act. See. Here, again, as we brought out, beginning this whole ordeal of kids coming into the picture, the test is set before the sisters. For Leah, she does not get to enjoy the affection of her husband. That all goes to Rachel, her sister. But for God to give her encouragement in life, he makes her fertile, and she's able to have kids. But Rachel, obviously, in addition to that, she's a pretty one of the two. And she gets to enjoy all the attention from her husband, Jacob. Now, remember, she was part of this whole deceptive program, too. Now, why she fell for that, that's anybody's guess, basically. Exactly. But she was still there. And the barren aspect may be part of a test as well, a part of divine discipline as well as being a test for her in this respect. And here she gets all the attention, all the accolades of her husband, all the affections that she smothered with this. And that's not enough for her. And that's the way the SCA is. The SCA does not want to be satiated. It always wants more. See, it can't be acclimated and oriented in regards to the present circumstances and situations that they may stand. Now her sister's popping out kids. She's left all wrapped up in regards to her reputation as a wife in the culture of society. See, eyes on people, eyes on self. And now she basically explodes. She gets herself wrapped up, pinned up, emotionally and otherwise. And she explodes at the very man that's been flowering her with affection and love because she can't get pregnant, and blames him. So it's not enough that Jacob loved her the most, point four, but that her sister is able to enjoy any part of her marriage becomes unbearable. And that looks at the people's attitudes, that they want what other people have, and they can't have any appreciation on behalf of the individual being blessed by God otherwise. See? So these are just areas in our lives we have to stay in tune in regards to doctrine on. To rejoice with others when God blesses them in regards to their blessings, and not become envious because at that point in time, maybe God's not blessing us. See? In that particular area. But He's blessing us in other areas. Like I said, on both sides of the coin, you have God blessing Leah with kids, even though she's unloved. And even though Rachel is not loved, Rachel is being loved, she just doesn't have any kids. But RSCA wants us not to look at what God's given us. It wants what it wants. See, the desire of the flesh, rather than orienting and acclimating to all that God is providing for us as forms of encouragement, and utilizing those blessings for their proper perspective as encouragement from God. See, to hang in there, to continue to be patient. So five, Rachel's reactions here sets the tone for the highly competitive spirit that existed in Laban's household, now brought into the marriage with Jacob. Makes you wonder whether, this is my sense of humor, Jacob's thinking, man, Dad got even with me on this one. Go to your mother's brother and get a wife. I can't help myself. Six, as we will see, it is, quote, who will outdo the other, end quote. Especially in this section that we're in, between these two sisters. Who can outdo the other? Now, obviously, there's a place for competitive spirits and sports and things of this nature. We understand. There's a healthiness that we can attach to it. But there's this obsessiveness that people get. This idea of being perfect in everything. Like there's no room for error or right. There's only one man that's ever walked on this planet that ever met that goal. The Lion of Judah. So, but people become obsessed. A lot of it comes from a form of arrogance. And SCA pride. And again, it's not an excuse of being sloppy. We do the best we can. But you've got to take things in stride and in perspective. And recognize, we all have room to grow and things of this nature. And not to become obsessed over things. And she becomes obsessed over her sister having kids. She's got to be the best always. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. There's only one area truly that I ever strive to ever want to be a real winner in. And that's when I'm at the Bema seat. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care whatever else goes on in my life. I can lose in everything as far as the cosmos is concerned. But if you win there, you won it all. See, those are the kind of doctrinal attitudes that Positivism maintains in regards to keeping their focus on those things that are important. Let other people go and do what they want to do. Let them have their successes as they violate their NPR. As they let other people and other things rob them of the prize. You protect that prize with every ounce of strength that you have with all heart, soul, and mind. See, that's the idea. Seven, she did not rejoice in her sister's good fortune, but instead becomes captive to the sin of jealousy. All right, let's take our break.